You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Parrott.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we explore Japanese home cooking with an American who married into a Japanese family and earned her chops under the guidance of her mother-in-law.
First, when you say Wisconsin, a lot of people might think immediately of cows. We are the dairy state. But if you say the word silvopasture to someone, they may give you a confused look.
Diane Mayerfield joins us now. She's a UW Extension Specialist in Sustainable Agriculture, and her recent article on wiscontext.org looks at the agroforestry practice called silvopasture. Diane, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, starting out with terminology, what does it mean to when we say the word silvopasture? What is it?
Well, as you said, it's an agroforestry practice, and as you can hear in that word, it's a kind of agriculture that incorporates elements of forestry. And specifically, with silvopasture, it is the integrated management of trees, livestock, and forage, or the feed for the livestock.
And for the farmer involved, what is the benefit of using that integrated approach instead of doing what most farmers, I believe, commonly do, which is to use, you know, maybe a pasture, an open pasture?
Right. Well, there's a number of benefits. One of the main ones that farmers have talked about is the value of shade, especially in the particularly hot and humid days in the summer. Cattle are just as stressed or maybe even more stressed by heat and humidity as humans. And, of course, they don't have the ability to walk into an air-conditioned room in the same way that we people do. So that's one of the first things. And another thing is simply a lot of farmers who have woods on their property are interested in expanding the amount of pasture they have available, but maybe don't want to cut down all their trees to create open pasture.
And we've been talking about cattle, but is this just an option for cattle or other types of livestock?
Absolutely, other types of livestock can benefit too. Certainly sheep can, goats can. There are even a couple of farmers in Wisconsin who do silvopasture with bison. And you could use it for basically any livestock that uses pasture. I will say one reservation for that. People are very interested in potentially using silvopasture for pigs, but pigs are a particularly difficult animal because they love to root. So we're particularly worried about pigs and their impacts on trees.
Right, and that is one of the issues at stake when we talk about how to be successful when you use this technique of silvopasture. It sounds as though you have to be worried, for instance, about what kind of trees are there and also the kind of forage. What are some of the things that farmers need to look out for, at least make sure they have a plan for?
Well, one of the first things to mention is that there are two different ways to establish silvopasture, basically. One is if you already have woods, then you need to plant the forage in your woods. And probably one of the first things you need to do is make sure there's enough light for that forage to grow. If you have a completely closed canopy, if it's the kind of woods where you walk in and it's cool and dark, that's not going to support a layer of grass. So the first thing a farmer might have to do then is actually cut down some trees to make sure there's enough light coming in. If you plant trees in an open pasture, then obviously you already have your grass established. Then what you're worrying about is protecting the trees, the young trees, from your livestock and also from the competition that the grass provides.
Is there a particular type of tree that works well, a particular type of woods, too? Because I suppose you could have, you know, a copse of evergreen trees as an example, but you could also have deciduous trees.
That's a great question and one to which we don't have a certain answer yet. We think that there are certain kinds of trees that are well adapted to silvopasture, in part based on what has been done in other parts of the country and other parts of the world. So that would include things like black walnut and oaks. But there are farmers who are making silvopasture work with other species as well. So some farmers are successfully doing silvopasture with maples, for instance, which wouldn't be the first thing we would recommend, but is, of course, a very common tree in Wisconsin. We think hickories might work, but we haven't done the research here yet.
Now, my sense is that in Wisconsin, silvopasture is not very common yet. Is that right?
That is right. The The best statistics we have are from the agricultural census in 2012, and there were over 11,000 farms that reported pasturing their woods in that census, and only 109 farms that reported practicing either silvopasture or agroforestry. So there was one question that combined, or alley cropping, that combined those two agroforestry practices. But in other words, fewer than 1% of the farmers who graze their woods are consciously practicing silvopasture.
Are there, besides having some versatility when it comes to how you put your animals to pasture, are there also ecological benefits involved?
We think there absolutely are. And that statistic I just mentioned kind of points to one of them. When farmers just put cattle in the woods without actually consciously managing for the trees and for the forage, there's a lot of evidence that that can cause a lot of environmental damage. It can lead to soil compaction, it can lead to erosion, it can lead to impacts on tree health, and it might even in some cases lead to an increase in invasive species and brush that farmers don't want there. So those are all impacts that we are hoping proper silvopasture management can reduce. Another thing that some people are very interested in is using silvopasture as a technique to help reestablish savanna habitat. And savanna, which is basically grasslands but with scattered trees, was the primary habitat type before European settlement in southwestern Wisconsin. And now it's a habitat that's almost disappeared due to conversion of land use to farmland and also due to fire suppression. And so people who are interested in restoring that very rare habitat type face some daunting challenges of controlling the invasion of trees and brush. And the primary tool has been fire, but of course that's dangerous and it's expensive. The hope is that we can also introduce grazing as a way to keep down competition from trees and brush in these systems. So there's some research going on that as well.
So, Diana, as we wrap up, if there's a farmer out there listening who's interested in trying this method, is there a place that they can go to get more information about how to do it well?
There are a couple of places. There is a National Agroforestry Center, and they have some good information on silvopasture, but not specifically on the silvopasture in the Midwest. I have a listserv where I send out announcements about educational events, and people could contact me if they want to be added to that listserv. And for people who are able to travel to southwestern Wisconsin, there is a pasture walk coming up that's going to be sponsored by Crawford County that's going to look at one of the silvopasture research sites that we have going on.
Diane, thanks so much for joining us and telling us about it today.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
That was Diane Merrifield, a UW Extension specialist in sustainable agriculture. We've been learning about silvopasture. For more on that topic, we've got a detailed article from WisConText linked on the Central Time Facebook page.
Coming up after the news, it's Food Friday. We'll cook authentic homestyle Japanese food. I'm Rob Verrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time.